I have to say, I am a little bit nervous tonight, a little bit more so than Sunday mornings, because, you know, we do this once a year when we come together on Christmas Eve, and this is one night when you just don't want to get it wrong, if there is such a thing. But when we talk about this great mystery and this story about the birth of this baby in Bethlehem so long ago, there's so much more to it. We could be here for weeks talking about it. But as we really think about it and think of what really happened and why we celebrate, we come to grips with the miracle that it was that Jesus came into the world. The miracle of Christmas. Tonight we are literally at the threshold as we are looking to tomorrow. We're almost like horses at a gate. Our kids waiting for the gates to open and the bell to ring and the event to begin when Christmas unfolds into its grandeur. But for a moment tonight, like a slow motion video, we take a few moments to think about this miracle of Christmas, to slow down a little bit and to take a big deep breath after the hecticness of the last 4 weeks, or maybe longer if you're a shopper. And we think that as we digest this a little bit, there's one word to describe Christmas most accurately, and it's not magical. It has nothing to do with magic, because God is not some divine wizard. The word is miraculous, because in this great event, which is by far the greatest event in human history, that was performed by a divine God, not some God of wood or stone or metal that was created by man, but a living God who time and time again has expressed His love for humankind and has expressed His desire for humankind to live with Him forever. However, that was not possible since the fall of man in the Garden of Eden, because we are sinful people by birth, which means we cannot live in the presence of God until something happens. So a loving God provided that something when Jesus Christ was born in a manger in Bethlehem over 2,000 years ago. And we say, well, that was so long ago. What's that have to do with me now? It has everything to do with all of us from the moment He was born. It was miraculous. Webster's Dictionary describes a miracle, which comes from a Latin word meaning wonderful. It's described as an event or an action that apparently contradicts known scientific laws. An event or an action that contradicts known scientific laws. Secondly, Webster describes a miracle as a remarkable thing. So let's talk about it in that light tonight, the birth of Jesus Christ. When we think about the miracle of Christmas, maybe in our minds, for some people, they think it'll be a miracle if I don't get run over on Black Friday. For other people, they might think it'll be a miracle if the store has any of these things left till I get there. Or maybe it'll be a miracle if I get this paid for by next Christmas. Right? Or maybe talking about traditions, we'll think, well, it'll be a miracle if the in-laws don't fight when they come over. It'll be a miracle if Uncle Billy gets through the meal without complaining once. Or it'll be a miracle if no one tells you how to cook that meal tomorrow. Or if no one complains. It'll be a miracle if we get through the night without a cell phone going off. That's okay, Dave. You know my little quirk about cell phones. Or maybe it'll be a miracle if the toys aren't broken by the end of the day. You know what I'm talking about. Or for whatever reason, it'll be a miracle if the tree doesn't fall over this year. Or simply, it'll be a miracle if I survive Christmas this year. Mary and Joseph knew those kind of feelings because it was a hectic time for them. They knew the feeling and desired God's miraculous presence in their life in the months and days before Jesus was born. In the events leading up to the birth of Jesus, If you know anything about what had happened, first of all, hundreds of years before, God had prophesied that he was going to send a Messiah. The Messiah was going to be born by a virgin, would come into the world through a virgin, would be born in Bethlehem. Lo and behold, miraculously, right in God's perfect timing, the angels came to Joseph and Mary and said, "You're going to have a son. He's going to save his people from their sins. You're to call him Jesus." And along the way, in the following months after that happened, it was a miracle that they made that trip to Bethlehem, 70 or so miles, give or take. How many of you women, when you had children, would have been ready to give birth, would have just loved to have ridden 70 miles on a donkey? Mary was probably saying, "It'll be a miracle when we get there if I don't have this thing by the time we get there." It was a miracle that when they got there, though there was not this beautiful place for the King of the world to be born, that there was a place provided. And the story tells us that it came about in the days when Caesar Augustus issued this decree that a census was to be taken of the entire Roman world. So, according to his decree, Joseph went from Nazareth to Galilee down to Judea to the town of Bethlehem, the city of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He was descended from David, so he had to go there to register for the census. God was working in every little thing. Hundreds of years earlier, God had said this would take place in Bethlehem through this Caesar Augustus. God was getting his work done, miraculously putting everybody in place as Mary and Joseph went to Bethlehem. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son, and she wrapped him in cloths because there was no room for them in the inn. Now, there would have been a lot of people there. Bethlehem would not have been a huge, bustling city at that time. But there was no room for them in any of the inns. So, they found a place in a stable. While this was going on, there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby. We can picture this maybe here in our rolling hills, watching over the flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to the shepherds, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. And I don't know about you, but it is a terrifying experience when you're in the presence and the glory of Almighty God. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid." And there was good reason for them not to be afraid, as there is good reason for us today not to be afraid, because the angel was bringing good news to them. Good news of great joy that will be for all the people. If you know about the time that was going on in Palestine of that time period, the people in general were expecting the Messiah to come. All the scribes and the religious leaders that were reading the texts, reading the ancient scriptures, were all waiting anxiously. And there was this common mindset that the Messiah was about to come. The angel said, "Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign that you'll know He's the one. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Here's how you're going to know. Go down there and find him in a manger. Not on a throne, not in a beautiful warm place, but in a manger. In a feed trough. In a stable. Suddenly at that moment, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to all on whom his favor rests." Proclaiming the great glory of this divine God who had promised to send a Messiah, giving him glory that he was faithful to his word as he promised, that he had provided this Messiah, and that to all people who accepted this Messiah that God had sent, God's favor would rest on. and they would know true peace. That's the peace of knowing this Jesus, this baby, as Lord and Messiah. It brings a peace to your heart that nothing else in this world can bring. So when the angels had left, Luke says, and gone into heaven, the shepherds, of course, said to one another, let's go see this thing. They were excited. So they hurried off and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And they saw him and they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, that he is Christ, or the Messiah, the Lord. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. And Mary quietly treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. Imagine the feelings inside that young girl as she thought about what had happened in the months prior, how God had come to her and spoken to her through the angel to tell her that she was going to have a child. How can this be? She said, I'm a virgin. And the angel said, the Holy Spirit will overshadow you. God's Spirit would come upon her and miraculously conceive inside her the Savior of the world. That's another sermon altogether in providing the perfect sacrifice when Christ would later die on the cross. Mary said, how could this happen? And the angel said, it'll happen just like God wants it to happen. And it did. And Mary sat there and thought back and pondered all of these things that had happened as she thought of what was going on. Now, I'm wondering in my heart, if Mary really knew the far-reaching effects of that child that she had just born. There's no way she could have thought of you and I some 2,000 years later. You know, the angel said to her he would save his people from their sins. His people were the Jewish people. But they rejected him. He came to his own, but his own didn't receive him. Yet to all who did, he gave the right to become children of God. Born again. Spiritually. Born again, spiritually. But Mary pondered these things in her heart, and the shepherds went back to their place, glorifying and praising God for all these things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Just as they had been told, this miracle had happened. It was truly a miracle to stand there with their eyes looking at the Savior of the world. And as they saw Jesus, and as we hear this story, now it's interesting that Luke, a doctor, really gives us this detailed thing. Because Luke knew that it was important to write these things down. As he said, I searched these things out at the beginning of his gospel. I searched these out, but I wanted to write them down. I wanted a clear record of what had happened. And as he writes and as we read, we see that it was a miracle how, like feed mixed to the proper consistency, Jesus was placed in a trough and would be the bread of life to feed all people. We see that it was a miracle how there was no room for the one who makes room in God's kingdom for all who follow him. We see how miraculous it was that a star pointed the way to the one who would be the light of the world, giving direction to all people. We see that it was a miracle that a virgin girl gave birth and life to the one who gives life to all who believe in him and are born again. You see what a wonderful, wonderful message of a miraculous Christmas it was. These events that took place contradict all of our reason. These events contradict known scientific laws. And these events are truly a remarkable thing when we think about what happened. I want to ask you tonight, if all of a sudden the angelic hosts came into this place, or possibly one of the farmers here Maybe they were feeding their livestock. And they came in here to say that the heavenly host spoke to them. And they told us that today, down here in the barn down the road, the Savior of the world's been born. What would you do? What would you do? I think I'd be a little skeptical myself, but I think I'd want to be like the shepherds, because I'm the kind of person I want to see. I'm interested. I want to go down and investigate for myself. But there they saw the miracle of Christmas lying in a manger as God had promised. It was truly a remarkable thing how, as John said, God just loved the world so that He sent His only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in that child would not perish but have everlasting life. The miracle of Christmas is historical. People saw it. They wrote about it. They told about it. They spread the word. It was an event that happened in the days when Caesar Augustus issued a decree. It took place when Quirinius was governor of Syria. The miracle of Christmas is historical. The miracle of Christmas is theological, in that we see the character of God in it, in that as we read the pages of His Word, we read His promises in the early pages, and we read the fulfillment of it in the second chapter of Luke. And we learn that God is a loving God, that He's faithful to His Word, that He can be trusted, and that He loves us so much that He sent Jesus not to condemn us, but to save us. And the miracle of Christmas is eternal. It does not matter how hard the world tries to stop Christmas from coming or to take the word out of Christmas. Cannot do it. You know, we've changed the name of Thanksgiving to Turkey Day and all these other holidays, but we still don't call Christmas present day, do we? Because without Christ in Christmas, it isn't Christmas, is it? It's not Christmas. It cannot be celebrated as Christmas without Jesus Christ, nor will it ever be eternally. We'll be celebrating and celebrating for all eternity the miracle of Christmas, giving thanks to God when we spend our time with Him forever. I pray that your Christmas may truly be a remarkable thing tomorrow and throughout the coming year. Let's pray.